Welcome to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and social justice news journal. I'm Amy Brown, here with co-host Meredith DeFrancesco. Today we'll be talking with Jack McKay of the Central Labor Council of Maine about the proposed so-called economic stimulus package, which will help the rich get richer while Maine workers get poorer. But first, this.
Last Thursday, the House of Representatives voted on whether to grant fast-track trade promotion authority. Fast-track was triumphant by one vote in a tally of 215 to 214. With extensive lobbying by now Secretary of State Colin Powell, Bush has been pushing hard for the renewal of the fast-track procedure, one which allowed quick passage of the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, in 1994. Fast-track requires Congress to vote on a trade deal up or down with no opportunity to amend the agreement. Also, the amount of time in which they can consider their vote is restricted. This so-called authority would make more likely ensure the passage of trade agreements like the FTAA. Both Representatives John Baldacci and Representative Tom Allen voted against Fast Track, saying that it was not good for Maine businesses, would make it more expensive to obtain prescription drugs, and that trade agreements should not bypass regular consideration by the Congress. Allen also expressed concern about how Bush got formally opposing representatives to change their vote. This week, Senators Snow and Collins declared they would support Fast Track. A full Senate vote is expected this spring.
The film Affluenza will be shown this Friday, December 14th at 7 at the Peace and Justice Center of Eastern Maine at 170 Park Street in Bangor. According to the announcement from the Peace and Justice Center, this film focuses on how our quality of life, as measured by the Index of Social Health, has gone down as per capita consumption has risen. Having more stuff does not equal happiness, and ramifications of insatiable consumerism on personal relationships, communities, body politic, and environment are profound. This film offers positive solutions. According to David Brower, chair of the Earth Island Institute and founder of Friends of the Earth, quote, "This scathingly funny, powerful film exposes the folly of our American obsession with economic growth and consumerism and its consequences for our families, our environment, and our values. The diagnosis is on target, and so are the prescriptions. You owe it to your grandchildren to see Affluenza and to encourage your friends to see it too." Close quote. The showing is free and open to the public and will be followed by a discussion. Refreshments and child care will be provided. Again, that's tomorrow night at 7 at the Peace and Justice Center on Park Street in Bangor.
Now today's story. Recently, it has been officially determined the country has been in recession since March. This, combined with repercussions from the events of September 11th, has had a huge impact on America's workforce. The AFL-CIO has been a primary proponent for the creation of an economic stimulus package to help unemployed workers, both union and non-union alike. But there has been deep partisan disagreement over an economic stimulus package, with the Bush administration and Republicans focusing on corporate tax cuts and Democrats insisting on a more direct help for the unemployed. The House has voted in a $100 billion economic bill through, which includes an acceleration to 2002 of income tax cuts now set to take effect in later years, a repeal of the corporate alternative minimum tax, and an enhancement of business expensing and depreciation write-offs. A Senate bill was stopped by a procedural measure from getting out of committee. The Senate is now negotiating with administration, working towards passing a bill before Christmas. The House's bill dramatically leans towards aiding corporations rather than workers, has been a huge concern for the Bangor Area Central Labor Council. And today with us, we have on the phone Jack McKay, president of the Bangor Area Central Labor Council. We'll be talking with him about the needs of unemployed workers here in Maine and about the Central Labor Council's recent meeting with Senator Susan Collins on the Senate's version of the economic stimulus bill. Welcome, Jack.
Hi, Jack.
Hello?
Are you there, Jack?
Hi, Jack.
Hi, welcome. Can you
Hello?
Hear us?
I don't know if you can hear me.
We can.
Okay, great, great.
Okay. I don't know if you just heard our introduction to you.
Yes, a little bit of it.
Okay. So I was just mentioning that you're going to be talking with us about the needs of unemployed workers here in Maine and later talk about your meeting with Susan Collins.
Yes, for staff.
Mm-hmm. And so perhaps maybe to start off, we can talk about the reality here in Maine. What's the situation here? What do the unemployed workers of Maine need?
Great, thanks. Well, currently there are 29,600 unemployed in the state of Maine, and I'm sure many of the listeners have read the papers recently and seen the sort of a litany of closings that have affected us recently. Saucony Shoe in Bangor just a short while ago, Dexter Shoe, and both Dexter and Milo. Just yesterday, Penley, a wood products manufacturer, is laying off 39 jobs. Of course, earlier in the year, Visionet. And just today, the two international paper plants, which were running skeleton crews in Pasadumkeag and Costigan, shut down, which is a total of 40 jobs in both locations. There is supposed to be a new mill there, but nevertheless, that's a real loss of jobs there. Bangor and Aroostook Railroad is currently in Chapter 11. So it's been pretty, in addition, there was a meat products company, I believe it was Jordan Meats, shut earlier in the year. So it's been pretty dire for many workers who have really been pushed against the wall. In particular, one of the members of the, many members of the Central Labor Council, but one in particular joined us with our trip to Senator Collins' office.
Pat McCoy,
right,
who we were going to have with us today if possible, but because of what happened with Costigan and Pasadumkeag recently, he wasn't able to join us.
That's right, that's right. And I think to give a little bit more of a picture of what it's like to lose your job in the Bangor area, he supplied me with some information that of the workers laid off in those two locations, Pasadumkeag and Costigan, that's 262 people. It'll be 300 as of in a few weeks when those shutdowns are complete. After 7 months, 27% of those workers remain unemployed. For those who have obtained jobs, which is about 75% of them, they are now earning, on average, $3.50 less than what they received before. Mm-hmm. 24% of those who do have jobs are making between $7 to $9 an hour, and that's $3 to $5 less than their old average rate of $12.50.
And living wage in Maine is supposed to be somewhere around $11 an hour, right?
That's right. That's right. So this is substantially down from that. And in part because if you look at the health care premiums that they're being forced to pay, it's from $45 to $115 a week versus $31 at their previous job. And this is forcing the workers to choose, in many cases, between food and medical assistance, health care, mm-hmm. For both themselves and their families. So it's not a good situation. And we had this in mind, as well as the, I'm sure people are familiar with the recent bailout of the airline companies immediately in the aftermath of September 11th. It wasn't reported as widely, but there was $15 billion for the airline companies, but for the 140,000 airline workers who were laid off, they didn't receive a penny. So part of the economic stimulus package, the impetus for it, is the needs of workers not only in Maine but throughout the country, in particular after September 11th, but also throughout the year. And nationally, 2.2 million workers were unemployed this past year. This is a 40% increase over the previous year, and it's the largest annual increase in over 20 years. So what's happening in the Bangor area is certainly happening around the country. So we went into Senator Collins' office. We received we organized a meeting with her. Mm-hmm. One of our big concerns is health insurance, and for those people who at Costigan and Pasadumkeag who lost their jobs, they're looking at paying family premiums of I think it's $800 a month on unemployment insurance, which currently now only covers on average 33% of people's earnings. So the Senate finance package that you mentioned earlier, which would have aided workers with over $31 billion worth of aid, was derailed in the Senate due to a partisan vote. Senator Collins and Senator Snow voted against it, which is very unfortunate for the workers of Maine. And that would have given 75% of the payment for COBRA. Basically, these workers who have lost their job are entitled to get health insurance, but they have to pay the premiums, and that's under COBRA legislation. They don't have the money to pay it. So this assistance, 75%, would allow them to pay for it. It was not passed. It was derailed in the Senate, so workers have not received that benefit. So when we walked into the senator's office, we were talking to the chief of office, and we told her about what had been happening with workers in Passamaquoddy and Costigan. And, you know, these are the best jobs in the area. These are good-paying union jobs. And the senator's proposal was to give a tax credit to workers paying their health care insurance, and they could use this tax credit come April. Well, there's two assumptions in that. One is that they have some income come April, and two, they can pay for it today. So we asked her, well, what good is this going to do for workers today in Maine who can't afford the $800? And the chief of office told us, well, they can put it on their credit card.
Put it on their credit card.
So, I mean, you know, credit cards sometimes, 28% interest, $800 a month from now till April. So it was a pretty staggering approach. We've since learned that the Senator Collins has a bit more nuanced proposal, but it's still, and that would include a credit that maybe the workers could get the money up front, but it's still very much out of touch with the reality that workers have right now. It's much less than what the Senate Democrats are proposing, and it still begs the question that there's a good proposal on the table November 11th, November 14th, when she voted against it, and basically killed that legislation, which would have immediately helped the workers, and that legislation was crafted much in the spirit of the bailout for the airlines. So,
do you know what some of the intricacies they're looking at right now in the Senate's version? Where do you think they're leaning towards now, if not the proposal they had before? Are you going to be seeing, do you think, more of what the House has passed with repeal of the minimum, alternative minimum tax, corporate tax?
We certainly hope not. I mean, the repeal of the alternative minimum tax is so ludicrously right-wing that even Dick Armey has come out against it, as well as President Bush, especially the retroactive going back to 1986, which is, you know, really enters almost the level of the bizarre. So I don't think anything like that's going to go through. But some of the accelerated tax breaks are something that's still very much on the table, and those accelerated tax breaks are something that help the well-off and don't do a lot of good to workers today. 4/5 of the tax cuts would go to the best off 10%. You know, it's one set of statistics that I have. But I think the things that we really want to see is help for the COBRA, direct aid, as well as an increase in the unemployment insurance, because that currently replaces 33% of income, whereas a few decades ago it replaced 50% of income.
So the premise that Collins seems to be going on, and others like her, is to gear aid towards the companies rather than the workers themselves. Is that correct?
Yeah, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you could explain that premise, yeah.
Well,
or they trickle down economics.
They said, I guess I'm leading up to this.
Right,
this is what they
right.
told you at the meeting.
Right, right.
That's what's their focus.
Exactly, because thank you for reminding me. It's just incredible some of the things that are said. Because we pointed out that it's very tough to watch Washington take care of the airline companies without a penny to the workers. I mean, it seemed like Congress was okay with taking action to help companies who are about to be devastated, realizing that that's a terrible thing. But the 140,000 families who are being devastated, that is not grounds for concern. So we said to the chief of office, you know, with exactly that, and she said, the response was, well, companies employ people. they're not employing that 140,000. And that's the sort of trickle-down view, and the view that companies I don't know, provide all the good in the world or something, and provide all jobs. And I think this trickle-down economics, we've seen it during the 80s. We saw it devastate the working class, and as well, and it's continued.
And the disparity between what the CEOs are making and what the workers are making, if they even actually have jobs,
right,
it just continues to increase.
Oh, it's absolutely astounding. I mean, these are, you know, ongoing patterns since 1990. If the minimum wage had increased at the same rate as the average pay of a CEO, it'd be $24.13 an hour.
Mm.
In 1999, CEOs make 458 times as much as production workers. I mean, these are just astounding figures, and they're not to be found in any other country that's comparable to us in wealth, in Western Europe and South Korea or Japan or Taiwan, etc. And another statistic, and this is the sort of trends that Senator Collins's policies are reinforcing, from 1979 to 1998, those in the top fifth of income, the wealthiest 20%, gained 38%, while those in the bottom fifth lost 5% in real income.
Mm.
And so these policies that are they're debating in Congress, I mean, sometimes it seems arcane, and there's this rule and that rule, and, you know, what is COBRA anyway? But the bottom line is they are aiding the wealthy and not aiding the working class and the poor. And it's just very disturbing when we go and talk to them about this, and the response is, let them use their credit card.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many, just this is kind of a side point, but in the state of Maine, I think the disparity is, while our economy is always at the bottom end of the scale anyway, but when we talk about the disparity between CEOs' pays and workers' pay, we have some of the lowest paid workers, and we also, the CEOs of the companies that are in this state very rarely are even in this state to see the workers. I mean, this is kind of like a colony for the companies, and the CEOs oftentimes are in some other state, in some other place. They don't even see the workers here.
Mm-hmm.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, one more question before we move on to, I guess, what might be the last one of the last questions. But just in a nutshell, if you could, what is it that you would like to see to help workers in this economic stimulus package, if you could?
Well, is that an increase in the unemployment insurance to come up to current standards, aid for health insurance, and that it happens soon and it happened now. Do we not have time to talk about Fast Track?
We do, actually. That was going to be what I was going to move on to. So, yeah, you came onto this program in October to talk about Fast Track. And so can you address the current developments and your concerns about the inadequacies of the trade adjustment assistance, which now Fast Track proponents like Senator Collins and Snow may be relying on to address workers' needs?
That's right. That's right. And the background to this is that the idea of basically free trade is a great thing. There's a big step ahead in that last week when the House voted 215 to 214 to pass Fast Track Authority, which allows President Bush to negotiate trade agreements like NAFTA, the trade agreement between the United States and Mexico and Canada, with other countries. And the next one on the block is the FTAA, which is a trade agreement for the Americas, basically NAFTA for this hemisphere. And the concern that many in the progressive community have is that these trade agreements are not being done with the environment and labor standards. And it's been very devastating to workers in the area. Just yesterday, the Senate, I believe it was the Finance Committee, voted 18-3. Senator Snow voted for it.
And she had said previously she wouldn't.
That's right. That's right. And let me see here. It was, and she had previously said that, and this is in 1992, said in terms of Fast Track, when she voted against it, she said, quote, "We're contemplating letting bureaucrats and other unelected interests negotiate America's future in the new global economy," she said. Mm-hmm. "If history is any indication, we'll be making a grievous mistake." Well, those are pretty good words, and I wish she kept to them,
mm-hmm.
Because that's where she should be today. So she did an about-face, and it's interesting when it's a Democrat, she votes one way, and when it's a Republican, she votes the other way. And Susan Collins, on the other hand, has said, you know, is according to the Bangor Daily, a longtime supporter of fast-track negotiation. She said, quote, In recent years, the lowering of trade barriers has opened new markets to goods and services produced in Maine, creating thousands of new jobs in our state and encouraged the development of a small business.
Wow.
Wow, that seems a long way from the reality of the folks in Dexter and in Milo and in Bangor who used to work at Saucony as well as in Passadumkeg and Costigan.
And now they're hoping to somehow fall back on, again, what you talked about, this TAA, this trade adjustment assistance that's been in place for a while. It's
right.
Something that was supposed to aid workers that might lose their jobs to imports. But,
right.
But so they're hoping that something, a program like this would help workers out in it, who lost their jobs to imports, but history has proved differently. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. And, you know, the idea that in free trade there's winners and losers, and the federal government should help those who are unfortunate enough to be in the losing industries. And I should say there's 4,400 workers in the footwear industry in Maine. This is a lot of jobs at risk. Think of what happened to Envisionet. These jobs are here. But anyway, up at Passadumkeg and Costigan, it was shut down in March. They applied for trade adjustment assistance because it was Canadian imports which had caused those plants to close, or that was certainly a contributing factor. They were denied, and they appealed it, and it took, I don't know, 8-9 months before the appeal was reprieved and workers were given TAA. However, the workers had gone out because they're running out of money. They took whatever job they could get.
Walmart,
whatever, $7 or $8 an hour jobs. And basically what TAA does is it gives additional unemployment insurance so that workers can go back to school and basically be given travel expenses and enough to get by so that they can learn a new trade, learn a new career. What happened with Passadumkeg and Costigan is because they had a job, TAA works that if you've got a job, any job, no matter how terrible, you can't quit it. You can't quit it and join TAA.
Mm.
So TAA, this is basically the opportunity to start a new life because there's been so few jobs in the lumber products industry, has been denied to these folks. So TAA doesn't work all the time. And basically that's the main cushion for workers who are being devastated by free trade.
We're going to have to end now, Jack. Mm. But is there some sort of contact information you want to give or any last words that you want to quickly add?
Yeah, I think it would be great if people contacted Senator Susan Collins at 945-0417. That's her office in Bangor, as well as Senator Olympia Snow at 945-0432. And these are, incredibly important issues, and I'd encourage people to get involved.
Great.
Thanks,
thank you
Jack.
So much, Jack McKay from the Bangor Area Central Labor Council.
Great. Thank you.
While we were in Bonn, basically having a big party, there were a lot of stuff was going on in Genoa, and part of a series, and interrupted recently by a cataclysmic event, but this is a song about shutting down the various financial institutions of the world, and it's sort of generic, vague kind of thing. It can apply to whichever one you care to shut down. And it has a four-word chorus, and I hope you'll all join me with it. We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, and we see through their disguise. If they'd have one big multinational with their corporate flag unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world, then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle Town. Wherever they may go, we will shut them down, we'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Got the chorus yet? That's it. That's. And CNN will spread the lies. This is just how it's gotta be. Well, they can have their CNN, 'cause we've got our IMC. And we'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't wanna hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcasts, 'cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them. We will shut them down. They'd have a world full of strip malls, plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ecocide. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay. And we're not gonna give in. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. Sounding good. And they will infiltrate us, provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the planes and tanks. But we will stand together, pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down. And we will build a new world without the corporate elite. And we will see the day of their international defeat. We'll have self-determination and equality for all. For what choice do we really have but to rise up and see them fall? We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. One more time. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down.
That was Shut Them Down by David Robics. You've been listening to Radioactive, a grassroots environmental and socialistist news journal. I'm Meredith DeFrancesco.
And I'm Amy Brown.
We'd like to thank Helen York for engineering today, Andy Buckley for web support, our guest Jack McKay, and you for listening and acting. You can listen to archived Radioactive programs on the web at www.freespeech.org/RAN for Radioactive News or main.indymedia.org. You can contact us here at WERU or by emailing radioactivenews@hotmail.com. Join us again next Thursday. Stay tuned for Free Speech Radio and Democracy Now in Exile.
You are listening to Community Radio WERU-FM 89.9 Blue Hill and 102.9 in Bangor.